His wonderful love. Though billows like mountains may roll, I fear not the tempest, I dread not the storm, for Jesus gives joy to my soul. For Jesus gives joy to my soul.
It is a good song tonight, thank you. I hadn't heard that one for a long time. A good old song. 2 Timothy chapter 4, find that place in your New Testament. Toward the end, 2 Timothy chapter 4, it's been good to have Nicole McDonald's grandparents, her mom's dad, mom from out in Iowa. Now they live in Kansas, right, I believe. So it's been good to have them with us today as well in the service. And thank you, visitors and folks, for being here in our church services today. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I want to use the message tonight to help kind of introduce what we're going to be doing in the month of March. When it comes to the matter of consecration, what we're going to emphasize preaching. You read about that in the bulletin. I mentioned it this morning. And so watch, read with me here. Just follow along as I read, beginning in verse number 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, when they will not endure sound doctrine, that means they will not endure doctrinal preaching. Okay? And verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, in verse number 1, Paul said, I charge thee. So I want to speak tonight on Paul's charge. Paul's charge. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're grateful tonight for the privilege to have a copy of Your Word with us in our laps, in our hands. I pray, God, You'll help me to preach it in spirit and truth tonight. Not in word only, but in demonstration of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. May He speak to our hearts. Lord, may You keep our church on course, on target in this area. And that means, God, that individually, we as Your people need to keep preaching preeminent in our lives. And, Lord, consider it dear to our hearts. So help us in our attitude and our approach to it. And we'll thank You for it. Give me Your liberty tonight, as only You can, I pray in Christ's name. And amen. Last words are important words. Last words are important because, obviously, they are the last thing a person says before life leaves the body. If the person who is weakening physically has a good mind, if they possess a healthy thought process, then the family wants to be there when the loved ones speak their last words. And those last words are not soon forgotten. They are held dear to the hearts of those to whom they are spoken. Now, God has shown the Apostle Paul that his physical life is soon to end. You see that in verse number 6. Look at what he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." So the Holy Spirit has already made it clear to the Apostle that he's not going to be much longer here on this earth. And the Holy Spirit again directs Paul to take up his quill and ink and write words that are God-breathed. And he is writing to Timothy here, his faithful disciple, who has been under Paul's influence and Paul's teaching, probably from the time that he was an older teenager or a young adult man when he met Paul on a missionary journey. And now he is a young pastor. He is overseeing the church at Ephesus. That's his responsibility. And Paul is to give him some more instruction about that. We talked about 1 and 2 Timothy in the book of Titus as being what we call the pastoral epistles in the New Testament. So here is the last part of Paul's last letter, the last communication that we know of Paul having with Timothy. And it's in this chapter right here. And in verse number 1, we looked at it. Paul gives Timothy a charge. And when he gives him this charge, he reminds Timothy that he is going to stand before God and before Jesus Christ to give an account for how he administered, how he dealt with this charge. And friend, this charge has to do with preaching. And I just want to say tonight that I don't take lightly what I say from this pulpit. Because I know, folks, that one of these days when I stand before the Lord, not only am I going to give an account for my personal life, my life as a husband and a father and so forth, I'm going to give an account for my preaching. The preaching from this book that I've done in the years that I preached in Iowa, and especially the years that I preached behind the pulpit of Faith Baptist Church. A preacher can't get up and just say what he wants to say. Can't just get up and give his own opinion. He has to have everything based on the book, on the Word of God, because God's going to hold him accountable for what he preaches. And Paul reminds Timothy about this here. And he gives him this charge. And this charge is found in verse number 2, preach the Word. That's the charge he gives Timothy. I charge you, Timothy, preach the Word. The word preach. We've been down this trail before, so I won't be long with this. The word preach means to herald divine truth, herald, proclaim, declare, publish. You know what one of the other synonyms for the word herald is in the thesaurus? Trumpet. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. The word trumpet, you know, when you think of the word trumpet, of course, you know, immediately you think of one of the musical, the brass instruments in an orchestra. But when also the definition of the word trumpet means to proclaim. To declare, to publish. And this is exactly what Paul's telling Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, I'm giving you a charge. I want you to lift up your voice. I want you to herald. I want you to proclaim. I want you to declare. I want you to publish. I want you to trumpet the Word of God. I want you to preach. And that's how Timothy was to accomplish his duty as a pastor in the meetings of the assembly when the church came together. The definition of the church. That organized assembly, that called out assembly. When the assembly comes together, Timothy, you preach. You preach. You declare. You publish. You trumpet. You herald. That's what he's telling Timothy here. And folks, it's okay. Listen, it's okay if I lift my voice. It's okay if I turn red in the face. It's okay if I clap my hands once in a while. It's okay if I hit the pulpit for emphasis. I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. I'm a herald. I'm to publish. I'm to proclaim. I am to declare. I'm to trumpet. And God told the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. I don't know if anybody plays in our little orchestra, plays a saxophone right now. But a saxophone has a soothing sound. A clarinet has a soothing sound. A flute has a different sound altogether. I know the sound of the flute. Amen. I can tell you about that. And that's a blessing. Amen. But anyway, so I can tell you about the sound of a flute. Huh? But man, that trumpet. Boom. And that's what he told Isaiah. You lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions. And Paul carries that same thought into the book of Timothy here. Timothy, when the people gather together, you cry aloud. You spare not. That doesn't mean you have to yell all the time. But it means you stand boldly and proclaim the truth of God's Word. And you spare not and you use your voice like a trumpet to show my people their sin. And people, that's a far cry from what's happening in a lot of places today. It's a far cry from what's popular today. Young preachers and pastors, they want to be rock stars. I've told you about that. They've even given that advice, being a youth pastor, be a rock star. And I think that's carried over to senior pastors and some of these emergent churches and their style of quote-unquote preaching and worship. They want to be a rock star. They want to be Mr. Popularity. And they got this little entertainment philosophy and let me humor you. And the truth of the matter is, it's absolutely pitiful. It's absolutely pitiful. And people flocking to it by the droves. And Paul tells Timothy, preach. He says, preach. Preach, Timothy. Now, not all men's personalities are the same. Down through the years, I've seen God use all kinds of personalities as preachers. And not all men raise their voice and holler. And not all men are soft, and not all men are extroverts. Some are introverts, but God uses all kinds. But I simply say, friend, there is an element about the preaching of God's Word that involves the boldness, the trumpeting, the declaring, the publishing. You know, people who don't go to a Baptist church where preaching goes on come to visit our church. They're stunned. Folks, they're stunned. They've never seen anything like it in their life. They're used to a soft-spoken, you know, person not wanting to ruffle anybody's feathers and trying to be Mr. Popularity, and preaching just isn't that way. And so he tells Timothy, it's this charge. He says, preach. But now, wait a minute. He qualifies this. He said, you preach the Word. You preach the Word. Now, there's the subject matter of preaching, is the Word of God. And Timothy, you have no right to stand behind the desk and herald your idea. You have no right to stand behind the desk and proclaim or declare or publish or trumpet your own opinions, your own thoughts, your own ideas. I've taken you through Jeremiah 23 where God compared the preachers, the false prophets, and their own ideas, their own thinking, their own opinions to chaff. And He declared the preaching of His Word to wheat. And He said in that chapter that the only thing that pleases God and profits people is the preaching of this book right here. Not some man's opinion or idea, but the preaching of the Word of God. And so, Timothy, you don't have a right to publish your own opinion. You preach the Word. You have a responsibility to herald and to proclaim and declare and publish and trumpet God's truth. And unfortunately, both the method and the subject matter are unpopular today. The method of preaching and the subject matter of the Word of God are unpopular. But God told us this would happen. Look at verse 3. Look at what He said. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. He says the time will come. Oh, no. The time, it doesn't say may come. The time will come. This is definitively. It's going to happen. This will happen. People will flock to the soft-spoken teachers whose messages are filled with fluff. Now, friend, because Paul said that would happen, and because it was more than Paul saying it, because God said that would happen, here at the church, we're going to stay the course in our church services, and we're going to keep to preaching the Word of God. Going to keep to preaching. Okay? As long as God gives me strength and breath, and I'm about 75% today physically, and sometimes that's better than being 100%, truth of the matter. But anyway, as long as God gives me life and sound mind, we're going to keep people coming to the pulpit, myself, who are just going to preach. We're going to preach. We're not going to get... Look, there will continue to be a balance of teaching and preaching. I believe that there's a place for teaching. I've been doing it on Wednesday nights. We've been going through the book of Proverbs. I talked about the teaching in the Sunday school class at 3 o'clock this afternoon. There's a place for teaching, but we are going to keep the right perspective about preaching. About preaching. And you know what it means for a church to keep the right perspective about preaching? It means that the members have to keep the right perspective. This building can't keep the right perspective. These pews, the church is me and you. It's our attitude toward it. It's our response to it. It's what we think about it. And Paul said the day is going to come when people are going to want to turn their ears away, turn their head away from listening to the preaching of God's Word. And so this month, the month of March coming this Wednesday, we're going to focus our consecration restoration theme on preaching and build it around preaching. Filling God's hand when it comes to preaching. Filling God's hand. Be at God's disposal when it comes to preaching. Doing His bidding concerning preaching. And we got some special things planned starting next Sunday and throughout the rest of the month. Every Sunday, we're going to give a CD message of a preacher from years gone by who's in heaven now. We're going to give every household a free copy of a message on CD. We're going to hear from Curtis Hudson. We're going to hear from John Rice. Going to hear, I think Rice, Brother Rice, Jack Hiles, is Brother Rice in that? No. Who else? Tom Malone, Curtis Hudson, Jack Hiles, is the fourth one yet? Not yet. So they're going to get one next Sunday. Every household is going to get a CD. I hope that you'll listen to it. I hope you'll do more than just throw it in the back seat of your car. Hope you'll download it on your tablet or whatever you got, if you can, whatever you can do with it. I don't know. But put it where you can listen to it. Take it home. You're going to get a copy of the CD. Maybe use it for devotions during the week. You know, play 10 or 15 minutes of it a night. And let your kids listen to it. Let them hear some of these voices from the past. These guys who stood up and proclaimed and published and declared the Word of God. So we're giving everybody a preaching CD on all the Sundays, the five Sundays of the month in March. There's four Sundays in the month of March. We have several men coming in to preach for us this month. Now, don't worry. It's not going to be a financial burden to you personally. We're not going to do that to you. But it will do our hearts good to hear from some other preachers. Now, on two Wednesday nights, we're going to have surprise guest preachers. This Wednesday night, we'll have one of them. Okay? And then on the 15th, we're going to have a second one. These are men who've never preached here before. These are my friends. I have preached in their churches. They're good men. They're younger than me. They're not terribly. Some of them, one of them is not terribly young. Got some older children. But these are good men, faithful men. I mean, they're doing a good job in their churches and preaching God's Word faithfully. And I'm going to end, and we're going to have one here on Wednesday night, this Wednesday night to preach. And I told him, I told you this morning, when I talked to him this week, I said, brother, when you come, I know Wednesday night sometimes we get into a teaching mode, but I want you to preach like it's Sunday night at your church. I want you just to come and preach to us. We need the preaching of God's Word. We need it. So we're going to have a couple of guest speakers on a Wednesday night. On next Sunday night, Brother Ben will preach for us. He's here for just a couple of more Sundays before they go back to Madagascar. And I said, I want you to preach a Sunday night while you're here. So he'll preach for us next Sunday night. And then the next Sunday, all day on March the 12th, I have Pastor Brother Larry Brown coming in to preach for us all day on Sunday. He'll be here to preach Sunday morning and Sunday night. And it's been a while since he's been at our church. You better buckle your seatbelt, amen. And he'll be ready to preach, and he'll come fired up, and we'll have a good services on March the 12th. And then on March 29th, that's a Wednesday night, March 29th is the Pilots Convention, the opening night, and Brother Rick Dawson will be here to preach for us that night. So we're going to hear some good men, several preachers coming in the month of March to preach for us, and I hope that you'll hear them all. I hope that you won't miss a single one. Make it your prerogative to be here for these services. You know, a different voice is good for a church. It really is. Now, the pastor needs to be in the pulpit the most of the time. No sense about it. That's all. That's the way it's supposed to be. But there's a different voice. How many times have I preached in another church, and after the service, the pastor says, would you go back in the back and stand here and greet the people as they leave on a Monday night or Tuesday night or something like that? And I'll stand back there, and somebody comes by, and the pastor's standing just 3 feet, 4 feet away, and the member is sincere, and I shake my hand, and Brother Angel, thank you. I have never heard anything like that in my life. And then they leave, you know, and it just goes in, folks, honestly, it goes in one ear and out the other. 90% of the time, the preacher says, you know, I preached on that 2 weeks ago, and I said, yeah, I know how it is. I know that. Same thing happens here. Man, I've never heard anything like that. Oh, that's okay. I did a whole series on that about 6 months ago, but not a problem. Hey, you know what it is? It's a different voice. It's a different voice. And you get used to my voice. And no doubt about it. 26 and a half years. And a lot of you, some of you have been here the whole time, 26 and a half years, same voice over and over again. It can get redundant and monotonous, and you know, a different voice coming in, ringing the same bell, is a help. And you know, the truth of the matter is, we don't have great attendance from our church at Revival Fires. That's coming in April. And that's okay. I'm not on you about that. I'm not chiding you about that. I think you ought to come. But we kind of got the mindset that's for everybody else and the preachers to come. So this is for us. This is for us. So be for us on Wednesday night. It'll be for us on Sunday, these preachers coming in. It'll be good for our church to have this emphasis during the month of March on preaching. Now, why? Why this emphasis? Why is preaching, why are you including preaching? I can understand prayer and Bible reading, and then we're getting in June giving and witnessing in April, and but why do you put preaching in here in the month of March as a part of this consecration restoration, filling the hand of God when it comes to preaching? Why? I have three things to say about it tonight. I want you to turn over one page. You may have to turn just one page in your Bible to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. I want to show you a verse here, and then we'll be into this real quick. First of all, I'm making an emphasis on preaching during the month of March because God uses preaching to make His Word known. God uses preaching to make His Word known. Now look at Titus chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after God and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His Word through preaching. Now, Paul is writing to another pastor, Titus. And he says, Titus, in due time, in proper time, in such time as God has eternally purposed, God has chosen to manifest. That word means make known, reveal. In proper time, God has chosen to reveal, to make known His Word through preaching. Through preaching. Now people, that's what the Bible says. Listen, we have a relevant Bible. Just because times have changed doesn't mean the truth changes with it. If God wrote, if God had Paul write to Titus in about, what is that, 65 A.D. and say, Titus, God in due time has chosen the method of preaching to make His Word known and has recorded it in this book for us. That means it's good for 2017. God still makes His Word known through preaching. That's how He's chosen to do it. I didn't choose this. You didn't choose this. This is what God chose. God chose this. He makes His Word known through preaching. This is God's chosen method of making His Word known. Yes, there are other methods as well, but this is His primary method of revealing the truth. Don't turn to it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul wrote this, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." That's what it pleased. Now listen, God's Word has to be believed if it's going to have any effect on our lives. It has to be believed. And folks, listen, that is more than just gathering information. Believing is to act upon. To act upon. Let me give you a verse. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. You know the story. Paul and Silas are in jail. At midnight they pray and sing praises to God, and God sends the earthquake, and the jailer gets under conviction because none of the prisoners have run away, and he falls under conviction, and he asked those men, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" A very simple question, a direct question. And Paul responds in verse 31 by saying this, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe. But friend, do you know that in James chapter 2, verse number 19, the Bible tells us that the devils also believe and tremble? The devils also believe and tremble. See, believing is knowing. But it is more than just knowing. It is acting upon that knowledge. It's interesting that the Bible says Paul's response was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now folks, I can believe in the strength of that chair to hold me up. And if you would say to me, "Pastor, do you believe in that chair? Do you believe that chair has the strength to hold you up?" I can stand here all day and say, "Yes, I do. I studied the construction of this chair. And it's got these oak handles and oak legs and the spring system underneath it. I believe in the power, the sturdiness of that chair to hold me up." But I don't believe on that chair until I act in faith and rest on it. Sit in it. Does that make sense to you? There's a difference. Now I'm believing on the chair. I'm not just believing in the chair. And Paul said, it takes more than just believing that there's a God. It takes more than just believing that Jesus Christ. Look, folks, the devils believe in God. And the devils believe in Jesus. And the devils believe in the fact that He died, was buried, and rose again. They tried to keep Him in the grave. Couldn't do it. But they're not going to heaven. Because believing is more than just knowing. Believing is more than just having information. Believing is acting on that knowledge. The Philippian jailer acted upon the knowledge in believing faith, and he got saved. You know, that is an act of the will. And preaching reaches beyond the mind to the heart and the will of the person, hopefully persuading them to act on what they profess to believe. And that's true about more than just salvation. That's true about every part of this book right here. Every part of it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Yes, I know that's talking about salvation in its context, but that can be applied to everything the Bible teaches. Folks, it's more than just believing in it. It's believing on it. It's acting by faith in what you learn. And preaching is what God uses to cause us to act in faith, believing. Do this for me that right now. Just think about it honestly in your mind. Think about the Sunday school classes that you have attended. And think about the preaching services that you've sat in. And if you've attended church faithfully over the years, you sit on Sunday morning, you sit in a Sunday school class, and you sit in a preaching service. Sit in both. And the Word of God in Sunday school is taught. And then you come to the auditorium, and the Word of God is preached from the pulpit. Now, in which one In which one of those meetings, in Sunday school or in the preaching service, are you most likely to make a decision to act in faith believing on what you heard? Preaching. Preaching. Is Sunday school helpful? Sure. It can be very helpful. And young people and adults and children can make some great decisions based on things they learn in Sunday school. Very, very helpful. I believe in it with all of my heart. But the place where most decisions are made to act in faith on what you learn is in a preaching service, because preaching is designed by God to do more than just grab your intellectual knowledge capacity and go beyond that to the heart and the will and make us act upon that which we have heard. That's what preaching does. That's what preaching does. And that's what God has said here. God has chosen preaching to make His Word known. Chosen, folks, look, that has not... You say, this is a different day and age. I don't care. I've got a Bible that's as relevant today as it was the day it was penned. It's the need of our church ministries today is to return to Bible preaching. Bible preaching. So we're not going to get away from it. Okay? Now, everybody we bring in here may not have the same personality. I'll promise you they won't all have the same personality as Pastor Brown. I'll promise you that, okay? He'll be wound up like a time bomb ready to go off, okay? And that's just his style. And if you say, oh man, if you've never heard him before, you better buckle your seatbelt. He'll get all over the place, man. He might walk on the pews for all I know. I mean, he gets with it. So, you know, but not everybody has to act like that. But a man that stands here must stand here not in his own authority, not in his own confidence, but confidence in the God of this book and in the authority of this book, and publish and declare and trumpet, herald the truth of God's Word, because that's what God has chosen to use to make His Word known. That's why we're going to keep emphasizing it. Number two, God commits preaching to men by commandment. That's why I want to emphasize it. God commits preaching to men by commandment. Look at the end of verse number 3 in Titus chapter 1. Paul said, this is his testimony. He said, He hath in due times manifested His Word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now, Paul's testimony was that God committed preaching to him by commandment. And this was God's will for Paul. I am committing the matter of preaching to you, Paul, and I command you to do it. That's why he wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse number 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. It was in Paul. God had committed it to Paul and commanded him to preach what he committed to him. So that's one reason we're going to emphasize preaching. Preaching, has Paul said, it was committed to him by commandment to preach. And God put it in Paul, committed it to him, and commanded him to preach. And friend, I still believe with all of my heart that God does that today. He does that to men. He doesn't do that to women. He doesn't do that to women, but He does that to men. He does that to men. He commits the gospel, the preaching to men, and He commands them to do it. Now, listen, I believe God still does that to young men. I believe He commits preaching to them and commands them to do it. That's what God did in my heart years ago. What He did in my heart down in Florida. In that church, I can't remember the name of the church. I know it was outside of Jacksonville, Florida. But I can see the young man, and I can see myself sitting there on the front row, that service that was before the evening service, kind of like a training union meeting, and the young man had been away at Bible college for a year, and the preacher had him preach that night to the congregation, and the young man stood up there, and he trumpeted, he declared, he published, he sounded out God's Word, and man, in my heart, the fireworks started going off, and folks, it was as if God was saying to me, that's what I want you to do. It scared me to death. I'm not just being preacher speak. It scared me to death. When that service ended, I found a little Sunday school classroom that was empty and went in and had a chair there. And I knelt down in that little room by myself and said, God, I don't know if I can do that. I have no idea. If you want me to do this, you've got to confirm it through your word. You've got to show me through your word. And then it was the silliest thing in the world. I said, God, I want you to do it within 2 weeks. Why would you put God on a time chain, a time schedule, timeline? And we went back to the boys' home. And that was on a Sunday night. And then Wednesday night, we went to our church there in Graysville, Tennessee. And the pastor was out of town. It was bad weather. And the guest preacher that came in, to be frank with you, he was a little bit boring. And he had read his text in 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. And he began to preach. And he read his text. And the text basically says something like this: be strong now and do it. And as I began to read those verses, as follow along with the preacher, I have no idea what he said, because God was using that text to confirm. And I know it's talking about the temple. I know that's what it's talking about. But friend, I also know what God had done in my heart 3 nights earlier. I know what I had said to God. And I can stand here, now I'm not much, folks, I'm not much at all, but I can stand here tonight before you and honestly tell you before God that He committed this to me and commanded me to do it. And that's why I try to take it seriously. Somebody, the boys in the homiletics class asked me this week, do you go back in your old sermon notes and pull old sermons out and re-preach them? I might have done that a total of 5 or 6 times in 26 years here. Outside of that one message on missions. And y'all can preach that to me. Amen. That one message on missions. Y'all can preach that to me. I don't go back and dig out an old sermon that God gave me 15 years ago. I want something fresh. I want something that will help you. I want something that God can use in your heart, use in your life. I need something that God can use in my heart, in my life. I take it seriously, and God committed it to me, and He commanded me to preach, and I'm doing what God told me to do. And I still believe that God takes young men and does the same thing in their hearts, and He commits it to them, and He commands them, I want you to preach. And I believe a man that really is committed and called can't get away from it. Can't get away. Now, unfortunately, we got a lot of materialistic-minded parents who hinder young men from even considering the possibility that God would want them to preach. They're starting to think about it. It's more important that you get started in this career and get started in this business. And what are you going to do? Folks, you know that Paul was a bivocational preacher. You know that he was a tent maker. You know he never took a dime from the churches he started. At least in Corinth. Other places, he finally did from Philippi and Thessalonica. We learned, no, a place he was bivocational. I want to tell you, sometimes we act like that's a plague. The truth of the matter is, there's a lot of bivocational preachers in this country. A whole lot of them. They're tucked away in little places and small towns where there's not an overabundance of people, and the men don't have an overabundance of good-paying jobs, and they're gathering a group of 75 or 100 or 50 or 200 people together on a Sunday, or 160 people together on a Sunday morning, and maybe another 125 back on Sunday night. And they bring the Word of God to the pulpit, and they declare it, and they publish it, and they preach it. And no, the church may not be running hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Their budget may not be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. But I want to tell you something. God committed preaching to that man and commanded him to do it. And if he has to throw newspapers on the side, he's going to do what God commanded him to do. They act like it's a plague. The guy has to have he's bivocational. There's a lot. There's a lot of wonderful men. Wonderful men. I've met them all over this country who are bivocational. We act like, boy, I mean, look, we can't even let our boys think about getting in the ministry. We got to set them on a path of success and prosperity and making, you know, got to have it and got to be ready to make it. I'm going to tell you what's prosperous, friend. Prosperous is knowing the will of God and doing it. That's what prosperity is. I'm telling you, we don't have young men surrendering because they can't get past mom and dad. Can't even get past mom and dad. That's downplayed. Brother, I want to tell you something. If God takes one of your boys and commits to them preaching the preaching of God's Word and commands them to do it, you fan the flames of that fire. You help them. You promote that. You build that up in your home, because that's God's work. That's God's business. My dad didn't call me to preach. My mom didn't will me to preach. God did that in my heart years and years ago. So here's what he's doing here. He's talking about God. God. This is one who makes an emphasis on God commits preaching to men by commandment. God puts it in men and then commands them to preach it. And the preacher that has a bivocation, he works on the side, but that is just what it is. It's work on the side. The main throb of his heart is preaching the Word of God. And that's what he does because God commanded him to do it. Put it in him and commanded him to do it. And I want to tell you something. When God puts that in you and commands you to do it, you can't do anything else and be happy. Nothing else. And be happy. Number three, we're done. God's people need what God has chosen to use and commanded men to do. God's people need what God has chosen to use and commanded men to do. Now, folks, if God has chosen to use preaching and commits it to men and commands them to do it, then it stands to reason that we need it. Why would God use something and command something that was unnecessary? Why would He do that? No, God hasn't changed. Christians have decided it's unnecessary. Christians have decided. People in this church have decided Sunday night's not necessary. People in this church that have no good reason have decided Wednesday night is unnecessary. You see the empty seats, friend. You see where people used to sit. They're not in heaven. They're not working a job. They're sitting at home. Because for some reason they've decided I don't need it. Friend, I want to tell you something. I would not decide I don't need something that God said we needed. Poor God. Poor God. He just underestimated His people. He just really did. He just couldn't fully understand that as time goes on, we would need less preaching, not more. He really ought to edit Hebrews 10:25. He really ought to edit the verse. I mean, God wrote it. I guess He could edit it, right? He could change it. Because He put in there in the original, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So I suppose He ought to edit that, because He just wasn't aware that, you know, we would be spiritual enough that we wouldn't need to be in as much preaching. Amen, Brother Andrew. You're getting a little sarcastic, but that's okay, folks. I tell you, I'm alarmed. I'm alarmed by the attitude. I'm alarmed by it. You call it what you want to. You cut it, dice it any way you want to. If the book is being preached, I'm 5 minutes away, 10 minutes away. It's my church. I have no valid reason. I ought to be sitting there with my Bible getting ready to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. That's just honest truth. I mean, I think I've been gracious. I think I've had patience. I think I've gone a long ways to understand some of the situations involving, you know, finances and so forth that keep some people from, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that live within a 5-10 minute drive from here. Some of you youngins, young couple, we got some 70s and 80 year old folks here on Wednesday night. I'm going to send them by to pick you up. It's so hard for you to get here. So I'll have Dorothy Lewis come by and pick you up, okay? Yeah. Brother Irvin, some of these other folks that get out in their 70s and 80s. I'm just saying, folks, come on. Come on. God doesn't need to edit His people. God's got His Word. God's people need to obey His Word. Obey His Word. And I'll tell you something, folks. God called them out. You think I'm being rough? God called them out. He said, you see that crowd that's decided that preaching's not important? Don't you be like them. What He said. As the manner of some is. Don't you fall into the manner of some. Well, if He could say that back then, I think I could stand here tonight and say the same thing. Folks, don't fall in the manner of some. Don't fall in it. Don't fall in the manner of some who've just decided, you know, we don't need that. We don't need, you know, once or twice. And that's about it. It's a good Sunday school lesson and a good Sunday morning service, and that's all I need. No, bless the Lord. Look, God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to manifest and reveal His Word, and God commits preaching to men and commands them to do it. And folks, when you consider those two truths out of this passage right here in Titus, I think you could logically deduct, reasonably deduct, that God's people need preaching. We need preaching. We need preaching. So that's why I don't think we're just spinning our wheels here in the month of March, just doing something for the sake of doing it. I believe God's people need to make a big deal out of preaching. Out of preaching. Because God does. Amen. So we're going to emphasize it in the month of March, and you won't have to listen to me as much as you normally would. You're going to get to hear voices of different men. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight. God bless you for being here. Father in heaven, would you please help us to keep in perspective, the right perspective, Lord, the things that you think are important for us. May we not, Lord, may we not decide what you have said is important is no longer important. So I pray that you'll move on our hearts tonight. Keep this church, this assembly of believers on the right path, on target about preaching. And I thank you, God, for using, and I thank you for using all kinds of voices to preach your word. And Lord, thank you that you still commit it to men and command them to preach. And God, I pray that you'll continue to do that. Through the history of this church, you've done that. You've put it in the hearts of some men, and they're doing it today. And I pray that you'll continue to do so. And help our hearts to be open and receptive to that. And Father, please, please, as we progress through this month and we hear these different men, we hear messages from your word, I pray that we'll have a great perspective about the importance of preaching. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't know what kind of invitation really to give. It's a little different type message tonight. But friend, what's your attitude? How's your perspective on this matter of preaching? Look, we're humans, okay? We're not robots. We're not mechanical. And you have Sundays where you've been sick and you're trying to pay attention and your head hurts and it's not easy and you got burdens. And I understand all that. I can live with some blank stares. I can live with that. Because we're human. We're not robots. But friend, it's your perspective about it. It's your thought processes. It's your attitude. It's preaching time. It's preaching time. May that never be diminished in our thoughts, in our hearts. May we keep it preeminent. If you're not saved, of course, it's a good time to get saved. Follow the Lord in believers' baptism or just make a decision. God, help me to fill your hand in this matter of preaching. I want to be consecrated to you, the right perspective, and do it for His glory. All right, ladies, play us a song of invitation. If you want to use the altar tonight, you can do that while we wait tonight.